I'm glad to be back.
Good. We're glad you're back.
I'm glad to be alive.
So, what happened last week on the show?
You weren't here.
Alan and I got out hard.
Was it like a sausage fest? Is that what happened?
I think we kind of, sort of avoided the worst of it. All right, maybe we're just sitting around a fire eating meat, but you know.
That's okay.
I think we had a pretty good show. We had as good of a show as we can have without Brita.
Oh, well, that's very sweet. I would encourage Alan to like continue because he was like, "Oh, you're not going to be on the show," and you know, I said, "I think you and Jay can have a great conversation." So I really encouraged it. Anyway, I've had a week.
It has been a week.
A week. And I'm not going to, you know, go into the details, but having pets is sometimes the most heartbreaking and heart-wrenching thing you can do. Although, at the same time, it's like the most rewarding thing you can do because you have these little, like, beings that are dependent on you for love and comfort and food and, you know, everything, basically. You know, we've just been kind of going through it this past couple weeks with Tig. And I want to thank everybody who has been, you know, so supportive of me. I feel bad, like, posting, like, I post cat shit all the time on Facebook, and I'm really sorry to everybody who's not a cat person, but thank you to everybody who has been kind to me. It has really meant a lot. We're kind of in the thick of it, and we don't know day to day what's going on. It's just like you take it day to day because what else can you do, right? You know, so that's where we're at. And I just wanted to just mention thank you to everybody who's been really, really kind to me. So anyway, carry on. I just wanted to get that over with. You know, I wanted to say something during the show, but I didn't want to like leave it till the end because it was like weighing on my heart. Mm-hmm. I just want to say something. So thank you.
Well, we hope he's okay.
Yeah, well, you know, he's okay today. And that's what we're going with. And that's kind of how we're dealing with the whole situation because, you know, it's like one of those veterinary... And I'm not going to go off on the veterinary profession because they study very hard and they work very hard and they dedicate their lives, you know, to animals' health. And I'm sure it's very, very difficult. But there comes a point in veterinary medicine where you keep throwing money at a problem and nobody has any answers. And you have to make choices. You know what I mean? And choices, difficult choices. So, we're just going day by day until we can't anymore. And we're going to make other choices at that point. You know what I mean? It's like you do all these testing and you bring your animal into the vet and you do all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. And like the vet's like, well, we don't know. Let's do more tests. Well, we don't know. Let's send him to another. And it just becomes like this situation where are we doing the right thing? you don't know if you're doing the right thing. And the right thing, you have to think from an animal point of view. Like the right thing is like, I'm happy right now. I'm comfortable right now. I'm eating things I like. I'm, you know, everything's cool. You know, I may feel a little bad, but, you know, okay. You know, I'm at home. Everything's comfy. And that might be the best thing for a cat.
Cats don't like not being.
No. And that's the thing. Space. It's like, that's the thing. It's like, you know, you could do chemo on a cat, but then that brings other problems. And then, you know, it's like this whole, it's like a snowball effect and nobody wants to like make their pet miserable for no reason. So
yeah, if you're going to make your pet miserable, there better be a reason.
Right. And so, you know, we're kind of like in this mysterious veterinary, like amorphous place right now. Like nobody has any answers and we don't know and what's going on. And, you know, but Tige right now, just today, is very happy, and he has had a really good day, and that's what we're doing. So, but again, thank you to everybody who has said, you know, thought kind thoughts for us, and it means a lot. And because, you know, yeah, it's a cat, but it's my cat.
It's your cat.
Yeah.
That's right. It's a cat that you care very much about.
Yeah. And, you know, on top of it, like, Ronan just, we just lost Ronan in August, so. Yeah, I'm sure it's part of the problem, but, you know, it's just been, like, a big fucked up thing in our house lately. Anyway, go on, change the subject.
Okay.
Please change the subject. So
speaking of fucked up things.
Yes, Jay, how was your fucked up thing today?
Well, it's not fucked up. It's pretty straightforward.
Jay got rear-ended, and not in a good way.
Not in the fun way, damn it. Same as last time, only this time wasn't quite as hard, so that was good.
What? No part. Wait. Oh, no, go on. Okay, I'm still on the fun way.
This time, not as hard.
Yeah, or as deep. You started it.
Sorry.
You know, just normal, you know, sitting in traffic, and all of a sudden, thump. Oh, God bless America.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody just, you know.
Wasn't paying attention?
Yeah, for a split second. You know, I mean, this time was very light. You know, there was practically no damage to the two other cars, of course. Mine has a big dent in the back because, you know, reasons.
Right.
Apparently, my car will never rust because it's too busy being replaced all the time.
Well, that's good.
Like, the one thing that, like, royally torques me off is that I had this gigantic Dodge pickup truck, the Earthfucker. And one of the big reasons that I wound up getting rid of it was because the rear fenders were starting to rot out. Now, the rear bumper was long gone, you know.
Yeah.
But the fenders were starting to rot through. And that just, once those go, there's no, and I wanted someone to hit me in the worst way. So I'm like, hey, someone else pay to replace them. Nothing. Giant pickup truck, nothing. I buy my nice, sensible RAV4. It's a small car. Gets good gas mileage. Twice in 3 years.
Wow.
Well, you're also in a different place.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I had the truck for almost 2 years. So.
Yeah. Do they salt the roads in Virginia where you are?
Oh, yeah, they treat the roads. The funny part is, even though the first one, neither accident was snow or ice a factor.
Well, of course not.
It was raining today, but that really wasn't a factor because it occurred at, like, I don't know, maybe 10 miles an hour. You know, it was just that the car behind me just kind of got, you know, when they got hit, they kind of went forward, and the car was kind of pointed up, and it's a Mazda 6, which has, like, this funky, like, pointed snout that poked right into, you know, if it had been, like, a different car, it would have just bounced off my bumper and had scratches on the bumper and been nothing.
Were they texting?
I don't know. I didn't ask. I was the one that called the police because, well, it's a very busy highway, and you know, I thought bad things would happen if we were just sitting there in a very narrow area. So, but, you know, guy showed up and was, you know, okay, well, yeah, I'll take down the information. But, you know, it's not a lot of damage. I'm like, well, they wanted a cop here while, you know, there's 9 million cars going by.
Right.
But yeah, so now it's like, now I got to go. You know, we got to get the insurance companies involved and, you know, blah, 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 blah. Go get it fixed, blah, 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 blah. It's stupid. The one good thing is this one's free. You know, because I've already had the bigger one 2 years ago that, like, it crushed the back end in. It did a lot of damage. And that's one that'll show up on Carfax. So it's like, oh, well, screw it. The car's already worthless. So I'm just going to drive it for the next 20 years and not care.
You're going to drive it till it, you know, can't, you know, it's not worth repairing anymore and then get rid of it. That's
exactly, you know, probably 10, 15 more years. So it really doesn't matter. The whole point of behind the Toyota was, well, I could just drive it forever. So it's like, you know, and I was like, damn it. I wish it was paid off because I'm looking at the damage. I'm like, shit, I could unbolt the, you know, the plastic on the back of the tailgate, just pound it out with a dead blow hammer, be done.
You know, Alan, you brought up texting while driving. And I have seen, things, man. No, but like, seriously, I've noticed that there is a increase. Despite all of the, oh, no, don't text and drive, you know, stay alive, don't text and drive. Despite all of that, I've seen like an increase of people just kind of drifting over the center line or not paying attention at this red light or, but mostly drifting over the center line, which is terrifying to me because, you know, if somebody's coming at you at the other side of the road, you know, you're both fucked.
But you drive a car roughly the size of the USS Nimitz.
Well, I know, but
if somebody drifts across the center line, you're going to punt them all the way to Columbus. Punt!
Or into the lake.
Yeah, right into the lake.
Yeah.
Rita got she got three skips out of that Civic.
I do try to like console myself, like, okay, it won't be the like the last accident you had where, you know.
Right.
I was like, I always remind myself, okay, you're in a bigger car now. It's okay. Like, you know, whatever. You'll probably be fine. It won't be like the last time. But still at the same time, I'm like, I don't want anybody hitting me. Because,
It's preferable.
Yeah, it's just like, it just seems like everybody was kind of like is drifting over the center line, kind of hoping for the best, like relying on other people to like watch their ass or something. I'm not even sure, but stop texting and driving. Nothing you're texting, like literally nothing you're texting is worth the risk.
Yep.
Nothing.
It's because everyone exists in their own universe and nobody exists.
Yeah, that's true. More and more. I agree.
You know, people in, you know, if you're at the grocery store, you'll see them. They will be, their shopping cart will be perpendicular to the shelf.
Oh, honey. Holding it. That is. Mm-hmm.
Holding it while they look at the opposite shelf. You are a human roadblock.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, sometimes it's nice being a 6 foot tall, shaved head biker looking guy because I can just kind of.
You know what I like to do if I have the time?
Stab them all?
Well, no. In my head, I do that.
Yeah.
But, if I have the time, I like will walk up very, very close to that person. And I'll just stand there staring at them until they notice me.
That's awesome.
Or, you know, if I have the time. And it's always like a really great response. So I recommend it. It's for, you know, for shits and giggles. Oops.
Oh.
Coloring or nail polish?
I'm coloring. I'm actually coloring a squirrel.
All right.
So, yeah. Anyway, we had topics, kind of, ish.
Ish.
Did we? Yeah. You know, well, we didn't discuss topics, but you know, stuff has happened.
Well, I did notice one thing, and it struck me as funny. You know, right on the heels of all the drama over. Dwayne Johnson portraying an amputee in a movie.
What?
He is now being criticized for portraying John Henry in an upcoming Netflix movie. Because what? Apparently he's not black enough.
No way. No way. I'm so glad you saved that to tell me right now.
I know.
Oh my God.
That's actually kind of awesome.
I am. Oh my God.
There's really nothing better than when they eat their own.
Holy shit.
Yeah. That's the big thing right now. And I watched that movie. You can give your take on it. The Skyscraper.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he did a pretty good job of portraying. I mean, obviously he's not an amputee, but you know, he did look like, you know, they didn't play it up for laughs and he did a very, you know, in my opinion, a very accurate portrayal of it. So,
do you want me to give my take on it?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah,
I think that's what he was hoping.
The movie is called Skyscraper. It stars The Rock, who, you know, usually I will watch The Rock read the phone book. You know? I mean, have you seen him?
Hey, he's a good actor. I'm secure enough in my manliness to say that is that's a damn good looking man.
Well, he is a fine human being.
You're often confused for him, Jay. Is that what you're saying?
Quite often. And usually the seeing eye dog will lead him away from me. But...
Oh, Jay. Anyway, the movie Skyscraper. I've not, full disclosure, I've not seen the entire thing. But I saw the beginning and up to like this one fight scene where he gets his leg ripped off and he has to like do the entire fight scene like hopping around on one leg. But from what I've seen of the movie, he does a very accurate portrayal of real life amputees. The very first scene you see of him, he is of being an amputee. He's like putting on his leg, and it is literally the same procedure I have to go through putting on my leg, you know, in the morning. So, and then it's very realistic, and I really like that. You know, it was just like, well, this guy's an amputee and this is his life now, because he became an amputee later. Like he was in an act. I don't want to, you know, give spoilers for the movie. It's a pretty good movie. You know, it's fun action hero kind of movie. But like he becomes an amputee and then he has a life as an amputee. And I thought, well, you know, I was kind of two minds, like, well, why are they making an amputee character? Are they just using like the amputee thing as kind of like a, you know, character development type of thing, like make the character more interesting, you know, that sort of thing. But it really didn't seem that way to me. It just seemed kind of like, well, he became an amputee and this is his life now. And this is how he functions now. And I thought, okay, cool. You know, and most kind of amputee movies I'm kind of a little skeptical about, because like, what's that movie, The Kingsman, where they have the amputee chick and her legs are blades and she like runs around and she's, you know, springs everywhere and she like cuts people with her leg. And I'm just like, come on, That's dumb. But this I thought was like pretty good. I was like, okay. Like he's an amputee and he's doing stuff and like he's living his life and he has kids and okay, cool. I don't know where we're going with. Oh, John Henry.
Yes.
Was a steel driver.
So the big complaint, he's playing John Henry in a movie for Netflix that's called John Henry and the Statesman, and he's getting all kinds of flack, mostly, well, you know, Twitter being what it is.
John Henry is, and I'm reading People magazine right now, it says John Henry was his childhood hero.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's not black enough. Is this the story?
That's the complaint. He's not black enough.
Wow.
Well, he's not an amputee either.
Right. But, you know,
it's not like they were having Justin Bieber play.
Right.
I mean.
And was Barack Obama black enough to be the first black president? Or the second one, if you know, take Bill Clinton into account?
That's a good question. Because he's only half black, too. And
well,
The Rock. Dwayne Johnson is only half black.
Well, he's if you wanted to just go by degree of whiteness, Dwayne Johnson.
Barack Obama's more white.
No, yeah, Barack Obama's a lot more white because Dwayne Johnson's dad was black and his mom was Samoan.
Yeah.
So he's even less white, but apparently still not black enough for these people to play John Henry.
I'm looking at Yahoo headline. It says Dwayne Johnson casting himself as folk hero prompts backlash over his skin color. John Henry was a very dark skinned man, and yes, that matters.
John Henry was pretty much a fictional character. So they can't say, oh, he was a black man. Well, he's fictional.
Wow. Well, it's. We've gone back to the, you know, one drop rule or something.
If you object to Idris Elba playing James Bond, you're racist.
Yes.
No, right. What a lovely, lovely dichotomy.
Mm-hmm.
Dwayne Johnson, who is at least half black, is not black enough to play John Henry. And that's fine. That's nobody is screaming at these people calling them racists. Nobody is saying they should be fired or doxxed or burned at the stake. That's fine. That is the right kind of racism. But if you say, you know, the character of James Bond was specifically written for a white as a white Englishman with a very specific story, he's a very specific person, and having a black man play him, although Idris Elba would be awesome, don't get me wrong, it wouldn't be true to the character of James Bond. Mm-hmm. Racist. You're a racist.
Wow. It's so...
We have to adhere to some characters, but not all of them. And yet, you know, people have no idea why we can't talk to each other.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, the doctor's a woman now.
I haven't seen the episode.
Jay's like, what?
That British.
Jay watches Doctor Who.
Because my daughter likes it, so I watch it with her sometimes. There are some good episodes. I like Dinosaurs on a Spaceship. That's probably my favorite.
That was awesome.
But
the whole thing is so sad. Like
Doctor Who, yeah, kind of.
I'm thinking about The Rock. This whole like, you know, The Rock is funny to me because like I look at him sometimes and I'm like, oh, he looks really Samoan, and then I look at him another time and I'm like, oh, he looks really black.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he goes back and forth. But most of the time, like, I just want him to take his shirt off and read the phone book. Or just stand there. Anyway.
Just stand there and flex.
Yeah, that'd be nice, too. Okay, anyway.
All right. Brita's brain has jumped the track.
Okay.
Moment, folks.
But like we have reduced ourselves. I mean, here he's a good actor and he's a good guy and he wants to do this story about this John Henry who has been his childhood hero. And he wants to do the story and he has the money and the power to make this story.
Right.
But his skin isn't dark enough.
He's not dark enough. He doesn't reach high enough on the fucking Pantone scale.
What the hell?
No.
That it's so weird to me. I'm just like, just tell a story.
Maybe
if you had a
tan like Al Gore. Maybe. No, you know what it is? He should start calling himself Beto.
Oh.
How's that for a segue? Have we been following this? Alan, you're in that neck of the woods. Have you been following? They're kind of like, whoa,
yeah.
if he did this and if this happened, if... Oh shit! It's fucking done.
You think so?
There's not
going to be a big blue wave.
No.
The last poll number I saw for Beto were that the air quotes Raphael Ted Cruz. That's Ted Cruz's real name, Raphael.
Yeah.
Cruz.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny. It's you got the fake fake Hispanic versus the real Hispanic running for Senate, and the Democrats are mad at Cruz and they would call him a race traitor.
Yeah,
and yet the guy who's not really a Hispanic but is pretending to be one.
Not really. I am way more Hispanic than Robert O'Rourke.
Yeah, you're right. He's not, you know.
He looks like a Kennedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing is the Democrats are all like, ooh, he's so handsome. You know, it's the same thing. It's the same thing they did with Clinton and Kennedy.
Except that Kavanaugh sunk him.
Yeah.
They once again took aim and shot themselves squarely in the foot because all of a sudden you've got, oh, look, rich white guy went the full preppy life. Let's destroy him. And then somebody was like, let's look at Robert O'Rourke, shall we? Oh, look, he's got a long litany of acting like a spoiled fucking rich preppy kid, just like Brett Kavanaugh.
Worse.
Oop.
Kavanaugh wasn't arrested for, you know, breaking an internet.
Yeah, yeah.
And he wasn't arrested for drunk driving. So
in his late 20s, and his daddy, the judge, got him out of it.
Right.
And Kavanaugh got his partying done when he was in high school and college. Like, I don't know.
Like everybody else.
99% of the population, except apparently Tommy. Hi, Tommy. He pointed out on Facebook that he did not drink through college, which is fine. I still think you're weird, but for other reasons, no, I'm joking. But yeah, you know. Oh yeah, that's again. We have one set of rules for you, one set of rules for you. Dwayne Johnson's not black enough, but Beto O'Rourke, yeah, sure.
Total white, Hispanic
dude is. This dude is like as white as fucking Wonder Bread in a snowstorm. You know, this dude.
He's got a really good spray tan though.
And he's like, call me Beto. I still think it's come on Beto. Like all of a sudden, I'm turning a Cheech Marin here. I'm like, come on, Beto, it's Santa Claus and his old lady commune. So
Dave's not here, man.
Yeah. he's like a bad Cheech and Chong routine. No, Robert. No, man, it's Beto. What? I still can't. This is. I feel bad for the people at the Onion. If they wrote a story about Robert O'Rourke running against Rafael Cruz, and Robert O'Rourke was the Hispanic, people would be like, "What the fuck are these people smoking?" They'd be like, "How can you put this out? This is the dumbest thing I've ever written." I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul. I mean, But no, this is what passes for politics these days. He just woke up and decided, you know what I should do today? Let me pander like fuck to the dumb Hispanics. That's what that campaign is. Those people are so fucking stupid. If I call myself a Hispanic sounding name, they'll vote for me. And they went, I don't think so, pendejo. And, you know, surprisingly, those dumb brown people weren't as dumb as you thought, were they, Robert?
The story I've heard is that he got the nickname Beto from his domestic servant as a child.
Oh, dear God.
That's the story I've heard. I don't know if it's true or not, but it kind of fits considering how, like, you know, privileged white man he is. You know, he probably had some sort of like Mexican maid at some point.
Yeah.
Oh God, please let her have been an illegal.
Aren't they all?
No. That's a myth.
Okay.
Like elves and Eskimos.
What?
It's the line from The Simpsons. Those are me.
Okay.
Like elves and Eskimos.
Well, I just, you know, assume that, like, you know. No. Okay.
Yeah, so there's been a lot of national, you know, a lot of millionaires have been pouring money into the Beto campaign and ads and whatnot. And, you know, but despite the large number of liberals that live in big cities in Texas, this is still Texas, and you can't win national office in Texas running on a platform of gun control and open borders and, you know, free abortions for everybody. I mean, you can't. It's not going to happen.
Ocasio-Cortez?
Yeah.
That should have worked in New York. Not so much in Texas.
It'll work in some places in New York. Yeah. I mean, she's just running for a House seat. That's, you know. Even, is it state? Is she a state? Running for state rep or national? I don't even remember. National. Yeah, well. The last thing we need is more dumbass Democrats in the House. We got plenty already. Jesus.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, I was trying to segue to the doctor and I failed miserably. But I actually, okay, so I have, you know, people may have heard me talk about Doctor Who before in the past. I have opinions. Some of them.
I would imagine that some of our listeners watch Doctor Who.
So
probably the same number that you Stitcher.
I watched Doctor Who back when I was a kid, and when the only time you could see it was like during like Pledge Week on PBS. And it was always like Tom Baker or something like that. It was never, you know, any of the old good stuff. So, but anyway, I was sort of a fan kind. I was like, oh yeah, Doctor Who, that's cool. But I wasn't really, it wasn't like, you know, Star Trek or Star Wars to me.
You were going to dark dimensions with the long scarf.
Right. I mean, but just like, okay. So like, I mean, the same reason I would watch stuff like, you know, Red Dwarf or, you know, I mean, you know,
what's just, Red Dwarf?
It's another British science fiction show.
Oh, yeah, no.
But anyway, and then they did the reboot in 2005, and I was like, and it was kind of one of those things where, you know, it's like, okay, you know, like the original Star Wars movie, like when it came out in 1977 was the most fucking awesome thing ever. But you watch it now and you're kind of like, eh.
Meh. Yeah.
You know, it didn't live up well. And I think the first season of Doctor Who was kind of like that. It was like, because it was like, whoa, this is awesome. And you look at it now because the following seasons were so much better. That first season, you
yeah.
look at it and go, you go,
wasn't it? I had a weird Doctor Who experience. I really have not seen any of the old ones. And the only reason I started watching Doctor Who is because Alan lured me in with the one episode with Van Gogh. And he's like, oh, you need to watch this. It has Van Gogh in it. You should watch this because he knows I'm a big art nerd.
And it was actually the best Doctor Who single episode ever, I think.
It's a fantastic episode. But, you know, of course, he introduced me to these characters and there was Van Gogh and I was like, what is this show? And so I had like this kind of weird experience where I started at the Van Gogh episode. If anybody knows with Doctor Who, you've got the Rory Amy Van Gogh episode. And so I kind of started in the middle and then went forward, but then I started again at the beginning and then went forward again. So I was kind of like doing two seasons. I don't know how it was weird. It was timey-wimey.
Yeah.
Wibbly-wobbly.
It was. And it was kind of like I was trying to like, you know, I started at the beginning and I was trying to catch up to the Van Gogh episode. But then at the same time, I was like, I was at the Van Gogh episode and I was watching the new one. So it was like, you know. But I haven't watched a new like female doctor episode yet. I'm kind of conflicted about it. And I know that in the Doctor Who world, like it fits because, you know, the Time Lords can change genders or sexes or whatever they call it now. Yes. And, you know, it fits. Okay. But I'm concerned that they just created, you know, this situation where, I don't know. They have made it fit because of political reasons.
Okay.
They did it to be politically correct.
So, right. So here's my non-spoiler review.
Okay.
If you haven't seen it yet.
Everybody is like hanging up on our show right now, but go ahead.
That's fine. Okay. Yeah, so the reality is it is absolutely and totally a politically correct move on the part of the BBC.
Phooey. Okay.
They've made the whole show completely, you know, the doctor who the doctor's a woman. It is tooth achingly multicultural. The whole thing.
No.
The whole thing is.
So you have to have one of each. You have an Asian and you have a black and you have a gay and you have a.
Yes. Okay. All of that. Mm-hmm. However, that said, I thought she did a really good job.
Okay.
I think, you know, Christopher Eccleston was not that great of a doctor. I thought, what's his name? David Tennant. I will watch David Tennant in anything. I'm considering watching Broadchurch just to watch David Tennant because he's such a fucking awesome actor. He was Kildare in Jessica Jones, and it was skin crawlingly good. He was so bad and so evil and so awful that it was fantastic. He's going to be in a new series for Netflix Good
Omens.
Good Omens, where he plays a demon.
Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman.
Yeah, he plays a demon who teams up with an angel to stop the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to ruin the good thing they got going on. So that's the plot line for that. So anyway, back to what's her name? Jody something or other. She was a believable doctor. Now, the other one was Matt Smith that I really liked. So David Tennant and Matt Smith, I think David Tennant and Matt Smith were great right off the bat as doctor. And I see her as the same kind of thing. I liked her as the doctor right off the bat. She brought the same sort of whimsy and offbeat humor she made you believe she was the doctor. However, she was saddled with the most god-awful script and the most horrible directing that I think an actor could possibly bear. The guy who's the showrunner and the director now is like he's like all he's done in his life is police procedurals. And you watch this Doctor Who and it feels like a police procedural, which is not Doctor Who at all.
Right.
So, I mean, we'll have to see what the future episodes bring to it. It's like I'm not going to not watch it, but if they ruin it, it's not going to be her that ruins it. I think she did a good job. If it's bad, it's because the script sucked and the production decisions suck. And
that's the whole thing. That's the whole. You got to back it up with good writing.
Right.
And don't make it, look, the doctor's a woman. And what's the plot? The doctor's a woman.
Right.
Okay. What new characters are you going to develop? The doctor's a woman.
Right. Yeah.
Fuck you, all you misogynist people who followed this and supported us for decades.
Now, well, yeah. So yeah, and I could go into a lot more detail about this particular episode, but I delve into spoilers, and I don't want to do that yet. Too many people hadn't seen it. But anyway, I thought you take. You know, I didn't like Capaldi at all. I never.
What?
Did.
Who's the older one?
Yeah, the old guy.
I
never liked him at all.
Oh, I'm shocked. I did.
I didn't like him. I never liked him. I never warmed up to him. He never. I don't know. He just didn't. I didn't care for him. But
I'm surprised.
So, but part of the problem is the people that were involved in the reboot of Doctor Who are all gone now.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Drawing a blank on the guy that started the.
I can't help you.
I know.
You know what everybody wants to know.
What?
Are they going to bring back River Song?
Oh, well, that would be nice. That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
That would be an interesting episode, that's for sure.
Hi, honey.
Because River Song is the doctor's wife.
Right.
So that would be interesting.
Yeah.
And probably the most watched episode ever.
Yeah. I don't know that. I think that whole thing has kind of like. I think that, like I said, the people that originally did the reboot, Steve Moffat and the other guy. God, I wish I could remember his name, and I feel like an idiot now. And people are like listening to this and telling me his name, like in the future. They're telling me they're listening to this, going, "Oh, you fucking idiot! You should." Blah, 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 you know.
Why don't you remember? Yeah.
Yeah. So Russell Davies. Russell Davies was the guy, the executive producer, was brought back in 2005. In 2010, he handed it off to the other guy. Then I said his name and then promptly forgot. Steve Moffat, right. So Moffat worked on it under Davies. So they had some continuity and all that kind of stuff. And so now basically all those guys are gone. And the people running it now are all like new new guys, and it's on the BBC, and it's on Sunday instead of Saturday, and ugh. Anyway, that's all I'm going to say about it.
Okay, so
have you gotten it out of your system? Are you good?
Yeah, I am for now.
Wow.
But that, well, okay, so maybe I'm not done. But there was a huge,
oh my God.
There was a huge thing about, oh my God, it's a female doctor. And
yeah.
You know, I was kind of like, eh, you know, they had an old guy I didn't like. So, you know, I'll give her a chance. And she actually, I thought she impressed me with in the first episode. So
okay.
even with a shitty script and a crappy directing. So,
okay. No. I will watch it.
No, I'm done.
You good now?
Yep.
Okay. I wanted... This is totally... I can't do a segue for this. I can't.
No segues for you.
No segues. No. But this week, both Hillary and Eric Holder came out. And Hillary came out saying something like, well, we can't be civil until something, something, which basically, you know, summed up to like, we can't be civil until Democrats get elected.
Right.
I mean, yeah. It's like a threat. I mean, it looked like a threat to me. And then Eric Holder.
I have the exact quote.
Okay, go on.
The exact quote was... Well, shit, yes. I had it.
Well, shit, I had it. Okay.
Yeah.
Jay.
What? What?
Are you having cocktail, Jay?
No. No, I'm not.
No.
You should be.
Today's a lifting day?
Cocktails and leg day don't mix.
Right. Her. I have it right here. You cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for and what you care about.
You cannot be civil with
a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for, what you care about.
She could be speaking to all of us, really.
Yeah, pretty much. The bad deplorables.
Henceforth right. to be known as the Hillary rule.
Yeah. Hi, speaking as a terrorist, according to the governor of Connecticut, fuck you.
So, you know, that falls under be careful what you ask for. Because if it's not okay to be civil anymore, guess who's going to win that fight?
Right.
On one hand, people that own all the guns. On the other hand, people, they can't decide which bathroom to use.
Yep, there's that.
But then you had Holder, too, as you were saying.
Yeah, Eric Holder, I mean, it was like a day after this came out. Eric Holder came out and he said, when they go low, we kick them. Which references, Michelle Obama said something like, oh, when they go low, we go high. You know, as you know, take the high road type thing. But Eric Holder said, Michelle always says, when they go low, we go high. No, no, when they go low, we kick them. Okay. I mean, like, is this the game now? Is this what we're doing now?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And they were on. Apparently, the memo went out to all the TV stations in the last couple of days because they've been on script about not letting anyone call the raging groups of Democrats a mob.
Yeah. Oh
no, no, you can't call that a mob. It's like somebody did a jump cut of all the talking heads telling people you can't call them a mob, and it was just one.
What are we supposed to call them? Like protesters?
They're just they're just people trying to stand up to people that are trying to take away their rights or something like that.
Who's taking away your rights?
Yeah.
Like
Democrats.
Yeah.
Who? Well, yes.
Yeah.
You know, that is a good point, Jay. It's like everything is fucking projection.
Yep.
I have a hard time because I don't understand how their brains work. I don't get it. Like, They do a thing and then they say a thing and they don't match up, and it's like a whole lot of projection, and I don't get it.
They just assume everyone is as evil and venal as they are. Mm. So they want to pass laws to make sure, well, what would I do if I had that power? I would be horrible with it. Therefore, right. We should... I mean, you look at how these idiots talk about guns. You know, well, you're going to have teachers just mowing down students. Really?
Yeah.
You know, after September 11th, talk was, how about if we arm pilots? You know, the whole problem was they broke into the cockpit, killed the pilots, and crashed the planes.
Mm-hmm.
If they kicked in the cockpit door and took a 38 between the running lights, we'd still have two towers in New York, wouldn't we?
Yep.
And probably.
What was the response? We can't give pilots guns. They're dangerous. They might shoot someone. I'm like, oh, as opposed to what? Fly the fucking plane into the ground? Are you retarded?
What?
Oh, yeah, that was the response. Yeah.
You can't give the pilots guns because they might get mad and shoot someone. I'm like, you're already trusting them to fly the fucking plane.
Yes.
A giant fuel air bomb.
That we and in the case of teachers, in yes. the case of teachers, you're already yes. trusting them to keep your children safe all day fucking long.
Exactly. It's, you know, oh, well, the kids won't be bringing their homework in later. The teacher will shoot them. I'm like, well, do you really want to say that about your child's teacher? You should pull them the fuck out of that school. Because seriously. If they're that untrustworthy with a firearm, they're that untrustworthy with a fucking stapler.
But Jay, the reason they say things like that is because that's how they are.
That's what they do.
Right.
Yeah.
The guy who's warning about blood in the streets and people going crazy and shooting people is because that's something he would do, and he knows it. He doesn't understand that not everybody is insane like he is.
Right. Not everyone has the same poor impulse control.
Right.
You know, like I said, both times I was rear-ended, I had a loaded handgun on my person. But there was no reason. Nothing happened. There was no blood in the streets, despite protestations to the contrary.
There is something to be said for impulse control.
And it happens literally hundreds of thousands of times across the entire country.
Yeah.
If things were a hundredth, a thousandth as bad as they said, we would have an epidemic that would make the influenza outbreak of 1918 look like a party. But it doesn't.
No.
But they think, oh, well, if I had that, things would be horrible. Well, fortunately, not everyone is you. Not everyone has these impulse control problems that you seem to possess.
I'm just concerned, and you know, I work with the public, you know, every single day, and I have to tell you that this whole, like, it used to happen that, you know, I would tell somebody they'd have to give me 10 cents for a printout, and they would call me a racist. I mean, like, literally, that was like the knee jerk response, and people would be angry. But I gotta tell you that, like, lately, and I'm not saying like within the past month, I'm saying like past year, past 2 years, everybody has kind of settled down and everybody's friendly and everybody's okay with each other and nobody gives each other a hard time. And I wonder, like, I'm saying across racial kind of the racial divide. Okay. So I'm thinking that there is like a segment of the population that kind of pays attention to social media and the news and this, you know, everything. And then there's this other section of the population that kind of just wants to live and kind of just wants to have their job and go about their life and do their thing. And I think that media has really like highlighted these people that are like obsessed with social media and Twitter and this thing and that thing, and everybody's protesting, and there's like the weird people like in the street, and then the, you know, it's like, it's almost like there's two Americas. And I don't think, like, from my viewpoint, I don't think the two Americas that the media is portraying are the actual two Americas. Because I deal with all sorts of people every day. And I think, and I really think that it's the media, and I swear to God, I've been saying this for 5 years now. The media is really the orchestrator of what is going on. And people who pay attention to the media and are inclined to get stirred up by what the TV is putting into their head, they're the other America. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like just normal everyday people just want to live their lives and get a paycheck and live and, you know, whatever, do their thing. And I think that that the focus is on, and especially Twitter. Oh my God. Like this whole Twitter thing is just nuts. Because the people, it is a cesspool of like, I don't know.
I think Twitter and everybody on Twitter is the problem. I think if you got rid of them, everything would be great.
I think it's because it's so immediate, and it's because it's a like a level playing field. You know, I read the website Twitchy every day, just kind of get a feel of what's going on and the Twitterverse. And, you know, they will quote people and they will put people on Twitchy as a kind of like a response or a source or whatever, who are like literal no one. It could be like Joe Blow next door, but suddenly they're on Twitchy. You know what I mean? So it's like this weird media thing. I can't explain it, but I think the two Americas that we're thinking of are not the real two Americas. Like, there's people who just want to live their lives, and then there's people who are, like, obsessed with the media and then respond to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know if I'm like, expressing it right.
Like the caricature.
Yes.
You know, it's the grotesque, bloated caricature that they want you to think the other side is.
Yes.
Like, you can tell when they're really grasping, because they'll find a quote and it's like, Republican so-and-so said that, and they're like a state rep in, you know, northern Montana, in a town in a district of 8,000 people.
Exactly. Yeah. But suddenly, and because they're on Twitter and because they're on the internet,
and they're now the playing field.
And it's like they're suddenly like, oh, this is the representative for that side, because it's a level playing field and everybody's the same.
Because one insert demographic said this, they all believe this.
Right.
Which funny how if you say if insert demographic here does the, if let's say adherence to a certain, religious philosophy were to, enslave children into the sex trade. All adherents to that philosophy, they lose their ever-loving minds. Oh, you can't say that. They're not all bad. They don't all do that. That's not, don't condemn the group because of the actions of the few.
Right. Gun
here. Hi.
Yeah, meanwhile, all gunners have blood on their hands.
Right. Yeah. I just think, you know, history will look back at this period, and I think that they will find the media culpable.
Oh, yeah.
For whatever is to come, I think they will look back and say, oh, the media was the main orchestrator of...
go ahead. Sorry.
And I think it is working as designed.
I think they'll look back at it as the death throes of the media.
I hope so.
Yeah, we hope.
CNN's on life support. they have so little viewership, they're not even relevant anymore. The entire socialist, Democrat, leftist existence depends on a few billionaires handing them money hand over fist. If that went away, they would cease to exist.
Mm-hmm.
The left lives on these grants from these millionaires and billionaires and people like that. And if they had to depend on grassroots fundraising, they would disappear in an instant. And you'd never hear from them again. So you got to ask yourself, why do all these billionaires, why are they so dead set on supporting this crap?
Because they don't want commenters.
What do they hope to gain?
Yeah.
It's almost like the control is the important part.
Right. Meanwhile, I just saw, speaking of Twitchy, on Twitchy, apparently Mitch McConnell has pulled another fast one.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He got the Democrats to vote to approve 15 more of Trump's judges.
Oh, my God.
By making a deal with him, he agreed that if they allowed this vote, he'd let him go home and campaign.
That's certainly interesting.
Oh, that's good. Oh, that's so good. Oh, my God.
That concerns me.
It 15, really 15 lifetime federal judges approved.
Oh, my God.
In exchange for Republicans agreeing to go into recess through the midterms.
Because, as we all know, politicians, their main job in life is to get reelected. That's right. They don't care about anything else except getting reelected.
Yep. And so,
my God.
Yeah, so
that's hilarious.
So much for that Democrat. What were they going on and on about? The morality and standing up for what's right. And oh shit, I gotta go get reelected. Screw you. I vote for Trump judges.
We've got to protect our phony baloney jobs.
Yeah.
I'm just dying. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's good.
That just proves the whole Kavanaugh thing was just a sideshow. It was just,
of course it was.
It was just posturing and bullshit.
If something, let's say she just decides she's had enough, and the notorious RBG decides to retire. That is going to be the most amazing show I think we've seen in the modern age.
It'll be the best sequel ever.
It will. When you've got super pasty Brett Kavanaugh being decried as, literally Hitler and, obvious misogyny, blah, 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 whatever.
Kavanaugh, who was actually a very middle of the road guy.
He's not anymore.
He clerked for Anthony Kennedy, for God's sakes. I mean, come on. This is not an Anton Scalia.
Right. He's a milquetoast, middle-of-the-road dude, handpicked as the successor to a milquetoast, middle-of-the-road dude. And they decried him as this. He was the second coming of Hitler and Genghis Khan, to quote John Kerry.
Serial gang rapist.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Hello? Yeah.
That obviously, if you were saying, let's not throw due process out quite yet, rape apologist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that leap. That if you're like, maybe we might not want to convict them so soon, rape apologist. If you bring up, there was a movie made about, believing people with no evidence. It was called To Kill a Mockingbird. Misogynist.
You know they don't read that in high school anymore.
Yeah, of course.
Yes, they do.
Do they?
Yep.
No.
Not
around here they don't.
Well, I think the whole Kavanaugh. Why are we talking about Kavanaugh?
I don't know. It's the fourth. It's the fourth show in a row we talked about Kavanaugh.
But I think it was a kind of a interesting move on the Democrats' part, because sexual assault is like one of those things that's like kind of dirty enough that people want to look at it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I don't want to say titillating, but it is kind of titillating to people. Ooh, sexual assault. Like, ooh, you know, one of those things. And so people won't look away.
Especially teenage sexual assault.
Right. And so they kind of looked at it that way. Like, ooh, maybe we can put something out there that's, you know, like, you know, because look at the Anita Hill thing and the... I don't want to say Monica Lewinsky thing, because that was, you know, but I'm just saying sex sells, right? So it's like a matter of like, oh, let's do something like a little bit, you know, a little bit dirty. People want to look at it. But it didn't work out for them.
It backfired big time.
Yeah. They thought they were so clever, but, you know, it comes to a point where I think people are able to see through a lot of bullshit that, you know,
I think the Democrats thought they had all women on their side, and they discovered that all women aren't all women.
Wow. Thank God for that.
But yeah, Jay's right. If our VG, for whatever reason, if Trump gets to pick a successor, heads will literally explode. There'll be women setting themselves on fire in the Capitol.
I can't wait.
Street. I mean, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be epic. And I hope he picks that. What's her name? The one that was on the list for this time. Amy. What's her name?
Yes.
Amy.
What's her name? Do you know her name? This
Comey
this,
Barrett.
Yes. Yeah. Amy Comey Barrett.
Yes. Yeah, that's going to be
a staunch Catholic.
She's got 8 kids, 2 of which are adopted, one of which is disabled,
how many children?
Like 8. It's insane.
She's staunch Catholic.
Oh, yeah. And she wants nothing more than to overturn Roe v. Wade. Like, she is what they accuse. Yeah,
she is exactly what they accused Kavanaugh of being.
And she would be 6-3.
Yeah.
I think get her in and then say, you know what? That's an awfully nice Roe v. Wade you have. It'd be a shame if something were to happen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
What will you do to keep it?
Maybe national reciprocity might be worth taking another look. Or maybe we kick it back. Maybe we kick Roe v. Wade back to the States. What do you say? Are we going to deal or...
Quid pro quo, Clarice. Quid pro quo.
Yeah, you know, it's a nice Planned Parenthood you got here. It'd be a shame if something were to happen to it. It's a shame, I'm telling you.
Yeah, people wonder how Planned Parenthood can afford to donate, what is it, $30 million to political?
Yeah.
And because they get $500 million in taxpayer subsidies. I mean, come on.
And of course, if you say, maybe we shouldn't be subsidizing them, it's obviously you want women to die at the hands of back alley,
right.
You know, anger abortionists.
I'd like to note that despite all that, Trump still won.
Yes, he did.
And he never said... I won. Get over it.
He should, though.
You know? The thing is, he didn't have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Best not Hillary president ever.
Like, as much as I want to dislike him,
yeah,
keeps doing things.
I know. He keeps doing things that I like. It's crazy. So, yeah.
And I love the story. I just saw that Brita posted it about Kanye West has been equated to Colin Powell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He is the House N-word, according to CNN.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting, because if you remember correctly, Kanye West was the same person who claimed George Bush hates black people.
Indeed.
Yep.
You know, it's like I keep going back to Ann Coulter. Liberals honestly believe that history began this morning. Nobody's ever going to remember that quote from 10 years ago.
That was on live TV.
Nobody would ever remember that.
Yeah.
We could just go ahead and, you know, just make shit up. What the hell? Nobody's going to remember that. We don't have this entire body of human existence preserved forever and available to any human on the planet with Wi-Fi. Oh, yeah, nope. Didn't happen.
Hmm.
You know, we like, it's never been more true, the quote from General Santayana about those who ignore the past.
Yes.
Are doomed to repeat the future
doomed to repeat the future.
Repeat the future. And back to Doctor.
That was almost a spoonerism.
Back to Doctor.
You never know.
That's right. Yeah. So,
hey, look at that. 105.
We've gone over an hour here, folks. I know. And we only touched on Kavanaugh a little.
Yeah, kind of peripherally.
I think I count that as a win.
Hey, you guys.
Yes.
I love talking to you guys.
Hey. Aww. Great.
So, thanks for doing the show.
We like you talking to us, too.
Okay. Well, you know. Here I am. It is a good anyway, show. We will talk to everybody next week.
That's right. Oh, and by the way, you know.
Yes.
Just, you know, we still want people to be on the show.
Definitely. So.
However.
What?
If you contact one of us and the first words are, I do a podcast that's blah, 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 blah. We're going to lose interest, like.
You know, not 100% lose interest, but you know, yeah. We're kind of like one of those podcasts that we don't promote ourselves,
right?
So don't use us to promote yourself, kind of thing.
Exactly.
You know, we're happy to have you on, but yeah, we're not down with like doing a whole show promoting your podcast because we don't use other shows to promote our podcast.
And wouldn't if it was offered.
No, because, you know, we're not that way. Nope. Anyway, yeah.
But you be you.
You know, send us an email if you want to be on the show. Yeah, that's right. We're happy to talk fun. To you, but it is fun.
It is fun. Ask the people that have been on it. It's fun. You have a good time. You talk
we're
about
pretty
shit.
Chill. You know, we talk about stuff.
Yeah. And then you can listen to yourself and go, oh, man, I can't believe I said that. Damn. All right. Bedtime.
Okay.
All right. It's time to go lift heavy things and put them down.
Jay, go lift the things. Yeah. Okay.
Bye, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
What night?
Oh, boy.